Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong. Please do. Now I'm going to catch up, jump straight in and catch up with Ross Andrews, Yarrabah Mayor, and just touch base with the brother and see how he's travelling. A very good morning, Rossi. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Trev, and morning to the listeners out there. Yeah, no, we're doing pretty well out here.
Good, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a step by step, that's how we're travelling in the world that we're living in at the moment with COVID-19. And how are you looking at over at Yarrabah there, brother?
Yeah, it's a bit overcast and a bit damp out here, but yeah, we're travelling okay. I mean, COVID's been put on us over the last many, many weeks.
Yes.
And we're doing our best to try and, you know, cope with the challenges and the circumstances.
Sure.
And, you know, we know that it's a big challenge for all of us, but, yeah, we seem to be settling down a little out here now.
Good. Well, we had a yarn there about a week ago, brother, in regarding the situation with protesting going on over there. And look, that's across the globe. People are uneasy, want normality back in their life. But like I said, we don't have a vaccine for this virus, and we just need to abide by the rules. Is Yarrabah open up yet for transport in and out?
Yeah, it's really, really abnormal, eh? So everybody globally has had really tried to adjust to the circumstances and you know, the pandemic that's happening around the world. So Yarrabah's are different.
Mm.
We've been, you know, trying to work on ground here with mob, you know, trying our best to you know, mobilize support internally, because we are our own local government authority.
Yes.
And the my security determination has been placed on all of our remote discrete Indigenous communities to, with a good intent of trying to protect us,
sure,
and look after us, because, as you said before, it is a pandemic that there's no cure for at the moment. So we've got to work within our confines and, you know, do what's best in terms of protecting a very vulnerable community.
Look, I'm hearing yarns across the nation with different First Nation communities, and some of the constituents are saying that it seems like one rule for one, different rule for another. Do you think that's the case regarding the Aboriginal community to the wider community? You think that's the case?
Yes and no, I guess. You know, what comes with rights is responsibility, and we, because it's a very sensitive and health-wise pandemic, so we've got to try and balance the health and well-being of our people whilst, I guess, trying to cater for our mob, who are pretty keen to, you know, trying to lift some of the restrictions placed upon us. So there are challenging times, but I encourage our mob to, you know, stick with the leadership.
Sure.
And, you know, we want to do what's best in terms of protecting our people and our most vulnerable. And there are issues out there we need to try and manage to the best we can. And it is a very complex issue.
Yes. And it's an issue that we're, you know, new grounds that we're all walking into. No one across the globe has lived this way inclined regarding a pandemic as such and the globe closing down. So it's all a dark tunnel for all of us, isn't it?
Oh, it's a challenge for each and every one of us, as you said, because it is a pandemic and it is a virus that we don't have a vaccine for. So we're taking every day as it comes, every week as it comes, and doing the best we can. And I know there's some noise in terms of lifting some of the restrictions placed upon us, but being in a responsible position, we have to make responsible decisions based on public health advice as well. And I'd rather be safe than popular.
Exactly. Okay.
You know, some of the challenges that are out there, and as you said before, there's no cure for this virus at the moment. If we can try and navigate around some support out there, I know we've been doing hard mobilising support internally in the community, but people do want that relief, and I can understand that as well. But we're just playing it, you know, week by week, day by day, and you know, trying to support our mob.
Yeah, and look, I love the statement there where you're saying that I'd rather be a safe leader, so to speak, you know, in administration and position you hold, compared to, you know, someone that opens up the floodgates and irresponsible and vulnerable people, especially our elders, can get tarnished by this so-called COVID-19,
yeah? Yeah, it's a pandemic, you know, that doesn't really discriminate.
Exactly.
And we've got to be responsible. Those of us who are in leadership or are responsible positions have to show some, you know, real leadership and show some responsibility, because at the end of the day, we've been indebted to protect our mob.
Yep.
And I can understand there's a bit of frustration out there, but we have to work through this process and, you know, do the best we can under trying circumstances.
Well, it's fantastic in the sense of like a pandemic that if it got out and it went through the community under your watch, of course, that's not what you want. So you'd rather make the unpopular decision in regard to the rules that are in place. Let's talk about the service in regard to an Aboriginal community. Some people are talking about astronomical costs at the convenience stores. Is that the case with Yarrabah?
Yeah, there's a couple of options here. I mean, you know, we went from about two stores to about seven out here, so that's, you know, thanks to the work of ALDMG and our DDMG, as well as our CEO. So he's mobilised some food security and food supply out here, so I think we should be grateful for that,
yes.
Given the fact that other communities that are in very, very remote, isolated areas struggle. So I think people need to understand that, you know, we've mobilised food security, food for the community. They can still do the online click and deliver at affordable prices. So I think we're in a better position and a privileged position than some of our other fellow brothers and sisters that are struggling out there.
Sure. Sure. So the service, you'll still say like it's thumbs up in regarding the service and the costings for an Aboriginal community, Yarrabah in this case, yes.
Yeah, well, online shopping still, you know, happening out here as we speak. I mean, through Australia Post, we're getting a lot of online deliveries delivered through Australia Post. So the prices that the two major franchise, Coles and Woolies, the prices are the same as you'd shop from Cairns. So I think we're in a better fortunate position than, you know, a fellow brothers and sisters who are struggling in remote Australia.
Sure.
So, you know, we're an hour's click not far from Cairns.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why it brings in a lot of complexities. But, you know, I think we're in a position that we should be grateful for.
Yes.
You know, We've mobilised support around food security, but, you know, we're working with Education Queensland about mobilising support to our schools out here and kids that go to Jarrigan and Gordonvale. So we did a lot of work over the last many, many weeks in terms of trying to mobilise us as a maybe an independent local government authority. So so all the messaging around the Queensland state of affairs is we've got to try and apply that to a local scenario back in our community, acknowledging that there's a shire that's not far from us.
Exactly, exactly. What's the operation regarding when people come in into the community for delivery? How are they being assessed in regarding COVID-19 testing? Because we don't know who's got the COVID-19 and who hasn't. So I'm just talking about when people are coming into the community, what's the mechanism there for testing visitors to Yarrabah?
Yeah, There's two processes. There's a Queensland Health process and the DAPSIC process. So they go through about three or four different forms that they have to complete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still got to go through the HBO, the Human Biosecurity Officer based at Queensland Health. So there's an entry process that they've got to complete. There's the self-isolation. There's a business continuity process that, around those government departments in terms of their service delivery into community.
Yep.
And there's a travel plan that they have to complete as well. So there is a process that is being managed to the best we can so that we have a very regulatory framework that we operate within people entering and departing our community under this process. So, and it's incumbent on them too, those essential services worker, that they have to have some responsibility of ensuring that, they're well clear to come into our community. And
exactly. And that's by the companies that they work for as well. I mean, it's due process, isn't it, across the board?
It is. And so we have that. We have the regulatory framework that we operate within. But there's also other avenues and other entry points that is being undetected. So it is a bit of a complex challenge for us.
Yes.
And it is only something that we can try and manage to the best of our ability in terms of the entry point, the entry and departure point. Outside of the process, outside of that entry process, is more of a whole lot of challenges that come with being, in an isolated or quarantined community.
Exactly. And you're talking about the managed process. Well, you've got no COVID-19 cases, so thumbs up. Whatever's happening on the ground regarding the management side of it, with Queensland Health as well, look, thumbs up. You're dotting your I's, you're crossing T's, no case of COVID-19, and that's the goal.
Yeah, that's a celebration for success that at times we overlook, in terms of not only Yarrabah, but some of our other fellow brothers and sisters communities, where we have shown some leadership around protecting our most vulnerable communities. And it's something that we overlook at times, that we've managed to come this far, so we've got to see this through, and we've got to work hard on seeing this through.
Exactly.
Everybody's trying to adjust to the challenges. Food security, but there's education, but there's also social emotional well-being and mental health that we've got to try and protect as well. So it's a pretty well big task and a complex issue. But I think Yarrabah's
hold on its own, brother. Yeah. Exactly. Well, thank you very much for the chat, brother. It's good to hear that everything's going good there. Everyone's safe. And look, thumbs up, brother. You're doing a fantastic job. You're communicating with the authorities and protecting your community. Thank you for the yarn, my brother. Look, stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, Ross.
Okay, brother. Thank you for that.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
A deadly yarn there with Mayor of Yarrabah, Ross Andrews, doing his job. It's a juggling act in regard to protecting his community, as well as lifting the restriction to a certain degree in regard to the authorities and the laws that are put in place because of COVID-19. Look, have your say, your mob. Add to the conversation. Tell us how you're travelling. We are here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. Do add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your First Nation radio station, Bummer Brisbane Media, for National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can give us a call and have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, COVID-19, and it's about adapting or changing your ways that you live life and you do business. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Tony Nichols, who's a crisis media consultant and PR counsellor in the space of media. On the line, Tony, a very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you, Trevor. And we certainly are living in a different world, aren't we? Who would have thought that would be social distancing and our lives would be so disrupted and really a little bit terrifying at the moment. And what we're seeing when it comes to crisis media management, we're really seeing it as a new normal for organisations. So opposed to this nice to have that it used to be, that people or CEOs would get some media training, do some crisis media planning and some scenario development and see it as an interesting experience, we're seeing organisations taking it very, very seriously because their leadership is under a spotlight and a crucible like never before. And of course, Trevor, there's lots of examples that we can talk about right now.
For sure, you know, like you said, the world is upside down in regard to our life and all aspects of life and business. And when you're talking media, which is a powerful tool for getting the message out there or promoting your product or whatever the case may be, but the different space that we're working in at the moment, we've got to adapt, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, I think we have to adapt. And I think the problem is that CEOs are really good at being CEOs, but they really have their head in the sand when it comes to the media. Now look at the Cedar Meat situation right now in Victoria. So it's the corona cluster. It's almost like Victoria's Ruby Princess moment. Mm. You've got a CEO and a business owner there that's great at running a meat processing plant. But when it comes to leadership, it was surely very clear that coronavirus was ripping through the meat processing plants of the United States. We could see that coming. Mm. It was inevitable that it may be the case here in Australia. So doesn't it stand to reason as a leader or a CEO in your organisation that you get prepared for the worst possible moments, that you get your PPE in place, you get your social distancing in place, hand sanitizer, et cetera, et cetera. But upon potentially not doing any of that, having an infection.
I'm just going to say, a case of OPE, other people's experience, if you shouldn't be having like tunnel vision, you should have peripheral vision in regard to what's happening in the world, especially in your industry. So what's happening overseas, for example, take on board because it may affect you or come your way in your industry, yeah?
Oh, well, I think you're absolutely right there. I think it's exactly tunnel vision in that organisations are trying to get by day to day, they're trying to bring the profit in the door, they're trying to survive these crisis media situations by putting their head in the sand. But what they're forgetting, Trevor, is that in crisis media management situations, whoever's writing the story is the one who's controlling the story. But all too commonly we see, and now we've seen it with Ruby Princess, Cedar Meats, and also Newmarch House, the aged care centre in Sydney, which is subject to 16 deaths right now, 4 in 24 hours, we're seeing those CEOs and those leaders put their head in the sand and refuse to say anything, opposed to writing this story in order to control it, therefore to control their reputation and get the right messages across to the community who are all listening in. Now, we forecast that unfortunately, tragically, really, we're going to see more world pandemics. Mm. We've seen SARS, we've seen the swine flu, it's COVID now. But because of globalisation, there's more to come. So crisis media situations are only going to come with it. Now, let's not forget also, prior to COVID breaking out here, the east coast of Australia virtually was on fire, and yes, Morrison was on holiday in Hawaii off the back of climate change. Let's not forget that they're predicting that in 50 years' time, a third of the world will have Sahara Desert-like conditions off the back of climate change. Now, think for a moment how that's going to disrupt businesses and create crisis. Mm. I mean, that's almost endless. That, in addition to the political instability that we're seeing around the world, let's not forget it wasn't long ago that Vladimir Putin had a big hand of putting Trump in power in the US.
Yes.
With the deepening digital age now and this 360-degree or 24/7 degree of interrogation that organisations are facing right now, we're seeing that the crisis media management and getting it right is no different to any other kind of insurance a business might have. If you don't have it, you could lose your business and your reputation in a heartbeat.
Well, you could say a lot of people have dropped the ball in this space. So what you're saying is crisis media could be a tool, not only protecting reputation, protecting your business, your industry, and the future ahead, yeah?
I think so. I think it's a must-have tool now. It's not the nice-to-have that it used to be. We think it's no different to Lindsay Fox with his fleet of semi-trailers all over the country. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that they're all insured. That plant equipment, that vital equipment is insured for any kind of accident or catastrophe. We think crisis media management plans, crisis media management preparation is going to be the insurance of the new age that all organisations chiefs of staff, chairs of board directors and CEOs are going to need to ensure the business continuity of their organisations within the industries that they're in. So it really is the new normal now.
Mm.
We're seeing inquiries spike through the roof, in fact, right across a lot of different sectors. And it requires a bit of a paradigm shift for leaders.
Sure.
To think proactively about the press and getting their, and controlling the story by telling their story, opposed to putting their head in the sand. Now, as we know, Trevor, as media guys,
yes,
if you don't talk to us in the press, we don't know what your story is, so it's impossible for us to get your comments out there. So when we don't know your story, that leaves a vacuum. That forces us to talk to other people to give their versions of your story, and it's in that moment that organisations are putting their reputation at risk.
And then for those people who don't engage us as such, and then we just print out because of what we hear, we put it out there to who we're talking to, then you would take it as fake news, so to speak. Well, that's because we haven't got your information. Bring it to the table so we can tell the true story.
Well, that's right. I mean, people don't realise that, you know, people like you and I are actually good people doing we are good guys. You're a great guy. And we're doing a difficult job. It's very hard to get information and get the right information. So if you're choosing not to tell your story, it forces online reporters at the ABC or live news cross reporters, wherever they are, to speak to ex-staff members, to speak to disgruntled families, to talk to people, to door knock and the like. Now, at that rate, really, you're picking up gossip, rumour and innuendo, but you're being forced to report it. So what organisations need to get, if it's only one thing, they need to get the power of telling their story and doing so proactively. Now, look, a quick Google search will show you that Cedar Meats, since this catastrophe here in Melbourne, this corona cluster that's got 88 infections so far in building, they've put all of two statements out on their website.
Hello.
Now that's entirely, so that makes it impossible for the press to tell their version of the story. Now, it's quite likely that they're doing incredible things in that organisation.
Sure. But you don't know about it.
But you would not know. Now, similarly, if you go onto the Newmarch House Aged Care website right now, tragically, Trevor, you go on that site, front page, they're actually selling residencies and almost marketing the business right now, opposed to stopping all marketing and making it really clear to the really concerned public, families and friends and the like, everything that they're doing to look after those elderly people. So organisations are just getting it wrong. They have for a long time, but I think we're just heading into an era now where they can't afford to get it wrong any longer.
Sure. And I think a lot of people, you could say once bitten, twice shy in regard to media and want to shy away from media and, like you said, put their head in the sand. But it's a tool, so to speak, you know, and engage. Otherwise, like I said, your story won't be heard. They say if it bleeds, it leads. That's the phrase they get regarding media. But to save it from bleeding, tell the true story. So you're putting a bandage around your industry, your business, and then you are telling a true story, yeah?
Oh, Trevor, it sounds like you're part of the Good Talent Media team. I like the way you're talking. You're right, because through telling your story, you can put a Band-Aid on things. You can stop the hemorrhaging, most certainly. It's not going to stop the press telling the other side of the story, but at least it gets your paragraphs out there. It provides some sort of balance. Now, here's the thing. Here's the power of proactive crisis media management. If you tell your story first, we know that media copy media. So if you can get your story out there quickly and
it's leading the story. It's leading the story.
There you go. So if you're the first to give your story to News Limited, let's say, we know that the Fairfax might copy it. We know that the ABC will start making inquiries off the back of it. But you've got the lead paragraph straight away. So there's the power of it. And let's not forget, COVID, hopefully, will be all over in the next 18 months or so. Let's hope. Hopefully faster. Climate change isn't going away.
Exactly.
The world next pandemic is on its way. Political instability is only getting stronger. And the digital age is deepening. People are more educated. There's 3 billion smartphones in the world. You know what? That's more than the number of toothbrushes in the world. You've got activists, you've got citizen journalists, you've got states with ill intent, namely Russia. So this confluence of issues we're really concerned about. So we just wanted to get the message out there to organisations. if you're if you're a chair of a board, if you're a board director, if you're a CEO, we encourage you to get really serious about your crisis media planning and preparation.
All right, so regarding crisis media for listeners out there, especially business people or high industry people, how do they get in touch with crisis media? Who do they talk to, Tony?
Well, look, there's lots of different operators out there. Well, you could possibly give us a call at Good Talent Media. We're a team of ex-journalists, so we know the media space intimately. We've worked across a lot of different newsrooms. It doesn't matter where you're shopping, this is what I think you should look for.
Okay.
I think you should look for a team that can help you put a crisis media plan together.
Mm.
I think you should look for a team who can be on call for you 24/7. I think that's important. Have some ex-journos on call for you, and that'll put you in a great position to deal with whatever may happen in the future.
Well, then you're in control of your story and your industry and going forward, and also a way of communicating with government in regarding we need support here, or this is what's happening. Hear it from the so-called crisis media. There's the full picture. Guide us, please. Help us is what we're saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. And once you start understanding media a little bit more, it's not just the crisis media times that you need to engage with the media.
Yes.
You could start seeing media as a stakeholder or a vital partner to tell your proactive and positive stories about your organisation.
Mm.
So a lot of organisations are doing a lot of incredible things, and those stories aren't being told because people don't know how to engage with the press, coordinate interviews, create angles and hooks and the like. So all year round, your organisation's no doubt doing wonderful things in your community, they're all potentially great media stories that could be told. So that maybe that's the topic of another interview another time, Trevor,
yes.
The power of a proactive, positive PR storytelling.
You're singing to the choir here, Tony. Thank you very much for your time, my friend. I look all the best to you. Look, stay safe, and we'll talk soon, eh, Tony?
Lovely, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Tony Nichols, his name is, crisis media consultant and PR counsel. What he's stating there is very important to be in touch with media. Here we are, National Talk Black, Trinity Trevor and Mike here, and communicate with your media outlet, whoever you feel comfortable with, and regarding getting your story out there and promoting especially your business or the future that for your business and the space that we're living in at the moment, COVID-19. And it's just looking at the different examples he gave there regarding Ruby Princess, the ship, the ocean line corporations, as well as the meat industry and what's happening with China and how they're operating and regarding a wake-up call, and China threatens Australia's iron exports after COVID-19 inquiry. Something like $63 billion iron core could be taken off the table, so to speak. So that sort of conversation, it's media. And what Tony's saying there is to engage with media outlets. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. Too deadly.
Remember thinking how cool it would be when we were going on an 8-hour drive, and I could just watch TV, and I had given anything to have my own Pac-Man game at home. Used to get a ride down to the arcade. Now I've got it on my phone. Again. Japanese. He wrote 100 letters to my grandma, mailed it from his base in the Philippines. I wish they could see this now. The world they say is changing, no. I was on a video chat this morning with a company in Tokyo. Hey, every day is a revolution.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Strap on. Yeah, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go by NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. So, yeah, we're living in an upside-down world at the moment, thanks to COVID-19. Everything's all over the place. We're adapting to what we can in regard to the space that we're living in, this pandemic. But to look, all us mobs, especially Murray mob, Noongar mob, all hanging out for our sports, getting back online. NRL, looking at the 28th of May, sometimes a little bit scary in regards to we're not out of the woods, so to speak. So, look, we're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Nathan Lewis, a deadly brother. He's with the medical team at AIS and talk about the framework which helps guide a safer return to sport. On the line, good afternoon, Dr. Nathan. How are you, brother?
Good afternoon, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Thanks for having me. So I'm Gary Jaddy Yaru man from Kimberley, top end of WA.
Noongar.
Over here east at the moment, yeah.
Too deadly, my brother. Fantastic. How long have you been with the Australian Institute of Sports, bro?
So I moved over to Canberra in the start of this year, so last 5 months.
Last 5 months, and then you put it on hold thanks to COVID-19, eh?
Yeah, things have been not probably what I was expecting coming over an Olympic year.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, let's talk about sport itself, which is a pastime for virtually everybody around the globe in regarding entertainment, if not on the field, on the court, active with the sport. But it's all on hold. We're talking about COVID-19, and our conversations framework helps guide a safer return to sports. So paint that picture, please, brother.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, you know, you and everyone, all your listeners will know that obviously a lot of the sport and recreation we've had in this country, right from sort of grassroots level stuff all the way up to our professional codes, have all had to take a break because of this virus and the deadly disease that it causes. Mm. Now, Australia's done really well compared to most other countries in the world, in our management of COVID-19 thus far. So we are in a place now where we're considering the resumption of sport and recreation activities for the Australian country. The AIS has put together a framework for rebooting sport in the COVID-19 environment, which provides a guide for the reintroduction of sport and recreation across Australia, including high performance and professional sport, but all the way down to the community level grassroots stuff as well.
Sure. You there? Yep, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, the framework itself is, a fairly sort of meaty document, which incorporates, different stages to progress through as our social restrictions change, and then things we should do and things we're allowed to do from a sport and recreation perspective.
Look, and as fast as we want it to all come back, we've still got to tread carefully and safely because there's no vaccine for COVID-19. And so we are doing our best in regarding containing. So regarding the safer return, containing is number one in regard to no vaccine.
Yeah, that's very true, Trevor. So there isn't, we don't have a vaccination for it yet, or let alone an effective treatment for it if you're to catch the COVID-19. So the best thing we can do is contain it by all being vigilant and trying to avoid catching it in the first place. And that's where the education is key. Make sure everyone's on the same page, doing our social distancing, washing our hands regularly, just reducing the risks of us catching the virus in the first place. And that extends, of course, onto sport and exercise. So we know that a lot of sport, having close contact, having, contact with other people in a, you know, in a crowded space, all the things the government's told us we can't do during the this pandemic, we have to be very careful when we do resume these activities, whether it be, you know, kicking a footy at a park, whether it be, you know, playing footy on the weekend or any other sports you're into, that we're not increasing the risk of the public on the whole and as individuals to make sure we don't get crook as well.
Sure, and I suppose we have to take on board too the rules and regulation that the government's put on the table. They're in strong conversations with the medical team of Australia regarding COVID-19. If we run by those rules, we're sort of taken on board in blind faith that the government knows what they're doing, and we can then participate in the sports that they give us the thumbs up for. Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Look, the framework itself from the AAS provides a notion on the how to resume sport.
Okay.
The government and the public health authorities and all the states and territories and each individual one, they're the ones that say when.
Okay.
Well, the framework itself doesn't say when we go. We just say how we do it when we're allowed to do it.
Sure. Well, I've got the green light with the NRL looking at lacing up the boot on the 28th of May. What's your thought around that? I mean, if they're giving a thumbs up and the NRL are now about to go ahead, you as a doctor and working with Australian Institute of Sports in the medical team, what's your thought on that movement?
So the NRL is a bit of a unique case, and look, and I don't know more about the NRL than you would, really.
Okay.
I mean, their plan is their own, and it's got nothing to do with me as such as an Institute of Sport sort of medical doctor. The framework itself provides a minimum baseline of how we should resume sport, and any organisations, whether it be the NRL or the other big footy code in the country, the AFL, for example.
Yes.
If they, with their sort of early resumption as such, it would be they'd have their own systems in place, and they would have exemptions that are approved by each individual state or territory.
Sure. And sure. You mentioned grassroots as well. So virtually when you're talking about the high end of the table regarding a big organisation like the NRL, grassroots, we're talking about still abiding by the rules regarding what keeping your distance, washing your hands. If you're involved in some sort of contact sport, then you still need to be not complacent is probably the word I'm looking for, yeah?
That's the perfect word for it. We all have to be, you know, be vigilant and not be complacent. And look, unfortunately, the COVID-19 virus, it doesn't differentiate between professional athletes, professional footballers, or
grassroots,
you know, community or grass level sort of athletes, you know, recreational sort of sportsmen or people just like to get out and just be active. It doesn't differentiate between them. So the same hand washing, social distancing, you know, limiting your amount of exposures to other individuals is going to be the same across, whatever level of sport and recreation you play. And, you know, that's what really underpins the framework. It's that education is the key. And that's the most important thing, that no matter what sports organisations begin to resume activities, they need to have good plans for education for their athletes, their staff, anyone associated with the sport, anyone who wants to watch that sort of stuff. And make sure we get our personal behaviours right.
Yes.
You know, it's not testing procedures, it's the personal behaviours. It's washing your hands. You know, it's abiding to the rules of limiting the amount of contact we've got. And that's where some of the framework talks about, you know, when we do return to sport and you know, limiting the amount of people we have at training. So small group training, for 10 individuals or less. You know, any equipment that does need to be shared, like balls or other equipment, has a plan for being cleaned regularly, washing your hands pre and post before the training itself. When you do rock up at training, you know, you don't normally, you sit around in the change rooms, you get changed, have a yarn to your mates, that sort of thing. All that stuff has sort of gone out the door now, unfortunately. You rock up, you know, you're ready to go, you play or you train, you do what you need to do, and then unfortunately you've got to get out of there because all that excess sort of social interaction is where we increase our risk.
Well, we're walking in the right direction, but we just need to take baby steps. That's what you're alluding to. Look, great talking with you. Thank you for sharing, Brother Nathan. All the best to you and your mob there, your family. Look, stay safe, and look, we'll be yarning soon, Dr. Nathan.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show today, Trevor.
You take care, brother. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay.
A deadly yarn there with Dr. Nathan Lewis. He's a deadly First Nation man. He's with the medical team at the Australian Institute of Sports and moved over from WA and 5 months into the job, then had to put on hold because of COVID-19. Well, he's talking about a framework that helps guide a safer return to sport, which we're all waiting for. So adhere to the rules, do what you need to do, and we'll get it back to normality as soon as possible. Your mob can have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go by Nurse National's radio service. So give me a call. Let's have your say. 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
I rub my baby's skin with charcoal pieces so they won't come and take him away. Your gammon make your skin go black with charcoal pieces, so let my baby with me stay. I know they come to take you away. They come cause your skin lie. It's not my fault, I loved you, but they're taking you tonight. I rub my baby's skin with charcoal pieces so they won't come and take him away. Your gammon make your skin go black with charcoal pieces so that...
Yeah, charcoal pieces, Maggie Walsh here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone on the line. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Thank you, brother. Yeah, good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, I enjoyed that Tony Nichols and that brother from the mayor from Yarraba. I enjoyed that, brother.
Good job.
Yeah, I want to pick up on what Tony Nichols was talking about, brother. And I see that quote. It says like this. Well, you know what he was talking about, too, that's why media watch behind the news, and that's why literature is the editors. Mm. And brother, Don McKenzie, they give you, I'll tell you about brother, another point of view, brother.
Yes, exactly.
Not just take it, you know, book, line, and single, but what all the media tells us. And this is a quote, brother. Someone said it's raining outside, and another person said it's dry. It's not your job to quote them both. It's your job to look out the effing and window.
For yourself? Take your own advice. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if you're still there, but I just keep talking. But
yeah.
Anyway, why I like what Tony Nichols was saying, I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and there's a promo, I went promo on investigative, they call it investigative journalism, about how the couple for my mom from Palm, how that money was spent. It's none of their business how that money was spent. You know, talk about how that money was spent, and they got it legally. And what pisses me off is, I think it's sort of a preview of a businessman where they said, "Oh, I want this car, I want that car." Coronavirus, you know, the business should be happy that they're making money. And just recently, 2018, Palm Island celebrated 100 years since it's been established, and all those. Hundreds of these, the garrison city of Townsville, the blackers from Palm Island have always been consumers. That money went back to Townsville, to the business. They should have been, you're like swearing, brother.
Hmm.
Clive Palmer and Storm Financial, they ripped the people off, and they were having stuff that went to, like, Water Strike and other things. The concept was always Palm Island money being spent in Townsville. And that's what the fellow was talking about, the Tony Nichols. You know, they did. You know, they don't see that. They didn't see that side, there, brother. And that must piss me off. But this one tonight, on the mayor from Yarraba. Thank you, brother, for coming on. And what I said, I'll say it again, because it's the gravity of this. It's national, and it's the worst since 100 years ago. And I'll say it again. I think all the communities should be all singing from the same songbook. Me, you know, like Brisbane and all the front end, all that west. And they should do a travel to 4K when you should be picking up what's being talked about here. Because, you know, brother, Yarrawa people, Palmyra people, they live in Sherbet, Warrabinda, and, you know, they live in other places too. And vice versa, you know, like Yarrawa, Palmyra people live on Yarrawa, where brother was talking there. And they like that feedback too. And just a little point I'd like to make is that it's quite the elders, you know, they're closer. But they're elders in the cities too, brother, you know, from those communities.
Mm.
And comes up with the elders in the cities too. And, you know, I think what we sort of look at in the community is there has to be a consistency. Now, one other fellow I got busted up here, up in the Cape, was Jason Costigan, brother.
Mm.
You know, and like I gave the example of other places where people have gone into the community, brother. And, of course, the Ruby Princesses, the people back in the community, they was in charge, but the people from, and attorney from Palm Island went to Townsville. I understand all that, brother. That, and another thing, there's so much passion about this coronavirus. Last year on my island, brother, 40 people died.
Mm.
Before a funeral, and one of those funerals, I won't say what it is, but that person never even drink or smoke, never been into Sly Grogan, brother. They think it's all the Sly Grogan whinging about it. And, you know, unlike some other communities too, it's in our DNA to push back the resistance, brother, not take everything offline and figure what, you know, just because we speak against some of this restriction, it doesn't mean we're less passionate about our old people or that. It doesn't mean that nobody has a monopoly.
Mm.
I mean, we have a lot of people in Townsville, too, in the past, a lot of our people. And not just sitting around the people on our community. We have a lot of, like I said, we have elders outside the community, still, that live in cities and towns, our people from those communities, brother. Thank you very much, brother, for that beef. Thank you very much, brother.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much. And so on. Yes, you couldn't hear me, but yeah, we could hear you, and you've got your message across. So thank you very much for sharing. And to any mob out there want to tune in, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Hope you are tuning in National Talk Black. And we're about 7 minutes left on the program, so do add to the conversation. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, the First Nation radio station, and part of the Deadly Network with all our mob across this country of ours, and our voice for our people. We deliver the deadly music and the daily yarns and our stories, and a lot of it's not talked on mainstream, so a beautiful, powerful network it is. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your daily program, National Talk Black.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
Yeah, too deadly, that brother Mitch Tambo with his edition of The Voice. You're The Voice, and of course in first Indigenous language, so he's yarning up strong there, deadly voice and powerful, and he was Australia's Got Talent, so too beautiful. Murray, going to sign off for you, Mob. Thank you very much for your company, but you local Mob, stick around. Trendy Trevor going to take you right through to 1 p.m. with the special COVID-19 program locally. But National Talk Black, always good to have yarns with you, Deadly Mob. Great to have your company. Stay tuned to your First Nation radio station across this deadly country of ours, your Mob, to your local one. But going to sign off here. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're not out of the woods yet, but we need to contain it. Too deadly, Mob. 1-800-422-416. Give me a call tomorrow. We'll yarn. Local Mob, stick around. Hitting out a guy in the air.